Your Bibles, please turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16, 1 Samuel 16, verses 13 through 16, and we're going to read this passage responsively. 1 Samuel 16, verses 13 through 16. I'm going to preach my Halloween message tonight. No, I'm not. that's funny. I was thinking about that during this last song. It's going to seem like it, but it's not. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 13 through 16. Let's read this responsively, and then we'll read one other verse together. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David that day, from that day forward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. But the follow with me in verse 14. Ready? But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. Now, I want you to look down, same chapter, but I want you to look at verse number 23, and let's read that verse all together, and then I'll pray and preach. Ready? Verse 23, here we go. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. And let's pray. Father, we need you. Holy Spirit, help me tonight. Help me to help your people in a special way. Lord, what an important truth. And Lord, it's a confusing truth to some, and some try to pervert it. Pray that you just help us tonight in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at me if you will. Saul has been king of Israel for many years. And with the promise of being king came many blessings. Not just that he had rule of the kingdom, but according to Scripture, the Messiah was supposed to run through the kingly, I'll use the word genes or genealogy, so to speak. It would have been the earthly right to the throne that the Messiah would have. In other words, Jesus would have been born through Saul's family had Saul not disobeyed God. It wouldn't be Jesus, the son of David. It would be Jesus, the son of Saul. That's the way it was supposed to have read. But Saul, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, decided he wasn't going to obey God. And we're not going to go back and redo all of this. But Saul was supposed to go into a battle. He was supposed to destroy everything. He decided he knew better than God. He kept the best of things, and he kept some of the people alive, and he decided to do sacrifices, and he took the man of God's place, and he took God's place. And he lifted himself up above what he should do, and God said, that's it, you're done. He said, I'm going to take the kingdom away from you. I woke some of you up, didn't I? he said, I'm going to take the kingdom away from you, and you'll no longer, he said, I'll raise up another king from another family, and your sons will not sit on the throne. In other words, Saul got too big for his britches. Now, there's a gap between chapter 15 and chapter 16. If you look in verse number 1, and we're not going to take time to turn there, the Bible says, And the Lord came to Samuel and said, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul? Oof. There was about 17 years between chapter 15 and chapter 16. And we see in chapter 16, the early part of it, the birth of a young man named David. Say, why was there such a span? Because God had to raise another king. David was the youngest child to Jesse. And all of the, and if you remember the story, Samuel went to the house of Jesse. All of the boys passed by. The Lord didn't tell Samuel any of those were the king. And he said, do you have any more boys? He said, well, I got my teenage boy, but he's out back in the pasture with the sheep. He said, we're not going to sit down until he gets here. You fetch him. They brought David in, and God showed Samuel, this is the one. And God, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David as king of Israel, a shepherd boy. He was only 16, 17 years old. You say, why? Because God wasn't going to use one of Jesse's other sons because they were created to do another work. God had to raise up a new king for the purpose of being king of Israel. And Samuel anoints David as king as a young man. You'll find out in the next chapter, that's when David fights Goliath. And we'll get into that here in just a moment. I'm not going to go into that right now. But from the moment Samuel anointed David until David died, David then was to be king of Israel, and the Messiah's earthly genealogy would now run through David and not Saul. Now, I want you to notice something in verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, that's David, in the midst of his brethren, watch this, and the Spirit of the Lord. Notice that Spirit has a capital S, correct? That means it's the Holy Spirit. That's God. And the Holy Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. But I want you to notice verse number 14. But the capital S, Spirit of the Lord, departed from Saul. Now watch this. And an evil spirit, little s, from the Lord troubled him. Huh. God gave Saul an evil spirit. Now, it does not mean that God has this dark, evil, black magic, witchcraft side to him. That's what people will try to tell you. Now, what I want you to understand is that there was an evil spirit from God that came upon Saul. We see it again in verse number 15. An evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Verse 16, towards the end of the verse. When the evil spirit from God is upon thee. And again in verse 23. It came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul. I want you to know several times just in that chapter, and there are other places, and I'll show you, where it says an evil spirit from God was upon him. Right. Saul was not being demon-possessed. Saul was not being controlled by the devil, but I want you to listen to me. Now, I want you to take your Bible and look at chapter 18, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse number 10. 1 Samuel 18, just a few pages over. Look at verse number 10 with me. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand, as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And we'll find out here that Saul tried to throw the javelin at David to kill him. Take your Bible, turn to chapter 19. Chapter 19, look at verse number 9. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul, as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. And I'm going to stop there. I want you to notice all these different places. The Bible says that there was an evil spirit from the Lord that came upon Saul. But I want you to notice it didn't happen till the Spirit of the Lord left him. Right. You can't have the Spirit of the Lord and an evil spirit together. The Holy Spirit will withdraw to allow for the evil to happen, but they can't dwell together. Now, everybody listen and pay attention. This is going to help you. It doesn't mean that God has a demonic spirit that he places on people.
That's right.
Evil doesn't always mean sinful in God's vocabulary. Okay, let me say that again. Everybody look at me for a second here. Evil doesn't always mean sinful in God's vocabulary. Okay, Brother Stoltz, come here for a second. Yesterday, Brother Stoltz and I did the memorial service for Buck Wells.
we were facing the devil yesterday. We worked together in coordination with one another. He led the singing and he did the special music because they didn't want me doing the special music. He did the special music and we worked together to fight the devil yesterday. Do you know we actually did a work of evil against the devil yesterday? Amen. We worked together to put the devil down so somebody could get saved and hear the truth.
Amen.
We worked against the devil so that God could be lifted up and 17 people got saved.
Amen.
In some ways, that was evil. We were fighting evil by conspiring to kick the devil right square in the teeth.
Amen.
Or any other part I could get my foot on. Amen. Thank you. You say, where did you kick the devil? Any place I can find a spot. Amen. Evil doesn't always mean sinful, demonic, or vile. It means two people coming together, two or more, conspiring together to destroy someone else, to take down something. Now, you say, what was the evil? I'll show you in just a second here. God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, correct? God has the ability to separate those three entities. Man is body, soul, and spirit. You can't separate those. Someday your body will die and your soul, your spirit will go forever somewhere. And there will be a division then. But God has God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are one, but they have three entities. Well, when God the Father told the Holy Spirit to leave Saul, that is where the evil came from. He said, Saul has lifted himself up. We'll leave him alone. Holy Spirit, withdraw. You come on David, and we'll let Saul's evil spirit of himself destroy him, and we'll go on and bless David, and Saul will fend for himself. He wants to play God. We'll find out how good of a job he does. That's what the evil was. It was the conspiracy of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit withdrawing their presence and power from Saul and placing it on someone else. Now, listen to me very carefully. God planned to back away from Saul and wasn't going to help or guide or empower him anymore. Saul did not cease from being saved. He just lost God's presence and God's power on his life. Saul didn't lose his salvation. You can't lose your salvation. I love my mom and dad. But there may come a day, let me rephrase that, there has been a day where I didn't make them as happy as I should. That doesn't mean I stopped being their son because I didn't make them as happy as they maybe should have been made. I'm still their child. Even if I went to jail, which I did not do except to visit you. Even if I had gone to jail or done something really wrong or bad, it doesn't negate the fact my genetics are their genetics like an armpit. I may not make them happy, but I'm still their child.
That's right.
Now, I say that to say, once you get saved, you can't stop being a child of God. Nothing you can do to take it away because there was nothing you did except get saved to get it.
Amen.
And once you get saved, God's not Indian giver.
Amen.
You can't get it back.
Amen.
Now, listen to this very carefully. How did this happen? Saul wasn't a wicked man. He was just a disobedient man. He decided he wanted things his way instead of God's way. He figured his way was good enough and it didn't matter what God said. He would try to do it his way instead of God's way. And because of that, this evil spirit from God came upon Saul. Let me show you what I mean. What was that evil spirit from the Lord? What did that do in Saul's life? Well, we find out in the very next chapter, David fights Goliath. Can I tell you something? There is no reason a 17-year-old boy should have been fighting Goliath. He wasn't even a soldier. I personally believe, and you don't have to believe this, but I personally believe
Saul wanted David to fight Goliath in order for Goliath to kill David so that David wouldn't be the king.
He'd been anointed in chapter 16. Everybody knew David was anointed, but David said, I'll not lift up mine hand against God's anointed. I'll let God take Saul down. When Saul dies, I'll take the throne, but I'm not going to kill Saul. David had every right to, but he chose not to. We find out later in chapter 18 that Saul is so angry at David because the women are singing, Saul hath killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands. Saul gets so angry and jealous that he has a javelin near him, and he throws that javelin at David twice, trying to kill him, and David got out of the way. Now, that's quick-footed, let me tell you. Either that or Saul was a really bad shot. We find out in chapter 19, David is there playing his harp, trying to calm Saul down, and Saul gets so angry, he throws a javelin at David for the third time. And then he, for the next many chapters, chases David all over the countryside like a deer hunter would travel after an animal to hunt it down and kill it time after time after time, taking an entire army to find one man, trying to hunt him down and kill him, and time and time and time again trying to kill him. This evil spirit from God was actually God withdrawing from Saul and letting Saul's sinful self control him. Because of this, Saul gets full of sin and pride and starts doing really stupid, hateful, vile, wicked things. Can I tell you something? Isn't it amazing how fast a Christian can go and do some pretty rough stuff? And by the way, I'll say it again. Everybody smile. Quit looking down your pharisaical snoot because you're not having troubles with it right now because it could be you next. About time you get to looking at somebody else. I learned a long time ago, you point your finger at somebody else, you got three pointed right back at you. It's going to come back and slap you good and hard. Oh, I know people who have reared children. And as those children got older, maybe sometimes they didn't do everything they should do as young adult children. Maybe they got a bit rebellious. Maybe they went out and got into what you would call bad sin. All sin's bad sin, by the way. I've had preachers and their children have gone awry. I've heard people get up and say, well, that preacher's no good. His kids, look how his kids turned out. He ought to quit the ministry. That's a bunch of junk.
Yes, sir, that's right.
Then you got people in the church saying, well, I've raised my kids and look how good they are. Yeah, they're four.
Yes, sir, there you go.
Let's wait till they hit 24 and see where you land right now. Isn't it amazing how many people are child-rearing experts up through the age of two? They got it all figured out till them puppies become teenagers and can start talking back. Now, let me tell you something. It's amazing how many people change their tune. Yeah, buddy. Now we don't have javelins, we have guns. I mean, anyway. Now, may I say this? We get so judgmental because we're not facing that in our life right now. Can I tell you something? I am against young people going out and doing vile, wicked, stupid things, but when they do, this preacher's going to love them and try to get them back. That doesn't mean I approve of what they do, but I will love them back. There's consequences that go with it.
Yes, sir.
There are consequences. My oldest did that 2 years. Trust me. Put my wife and I through where the Booker Man lives for a while. Now he's an assistant pastor in Miami, Florida. Making the devil as mad as can be. Now, wait a minute. He still suffers some consequences for it. But God's used it. He gave it all back to God and said, God, now he wasted some years. He knows it. But it's all right. God can still use him.
That's right.
I've had some of my enemies try to attack him nationally because of it. Say, what is that? Evil, wicked as hell.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Isn't it amazing? And the ones attacking him don't have grown kids yet. But when they do, we'll find out how much they attack him. Let me give you a few points here. It'll be very simple, but let me help you. Number one, God did not send an evil spirit. God didn't ball up an evil spirit and throw it into Saul's body. God made... Brother Stoltz, you're going to be our example here. Stand out here. Well, you poke out there, but...
God made man, body, soul, and spirit. Lost man has a body and a soul, but his spirit is dead.
That's right.
When a man gets born again, John chapter 3, his spirit is reborn, it's rebirth. That's why John said, Nicodemus said, can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? And Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit.
Amen.
Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Your spirit has to be reborn, regeneticized, regened, so that it could live forever.
Yes, sir.
Now watch this. That means Saul was body, soul, and spirit. He was a saved man. Spirit of God had been upon him. Spirit of God can't be upon somebody who is lost. Now watch this. I love this.
Sin causes the death of man's spirit. Salvation brings the rebirth, but God's evil spirit, or the evil spirit from God, means man's saved spirit is living without the presence of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense to everybody?
Now, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit didn't indwell every believer like it does in the New Testament. The moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves inside. But back then, until Jesus came, went through Calvary, the death, burial, resurrection, that's when the indwelling of the Holy Spirit came upon all men. But it wasn't always the case in the Old Testament. Now, watch this. So, God's evil spirit is man's saved spirit controlled by the flesh and not controlled by God. Now, the evil spirit from God is actually God taking his presence away from someone and allowing them to wander in their own fleshly ways. I'm going to say something. That's why Christians can act like a bunch of lost worldly people. That's why Christians can go get drunk. That's why Christian young people can go out and get pregnant out of wedlock. Now, the preacher is not going to quit preaching about it, but when it happens to one of ours, guess what? We're going to love them back.
Thank you.
That's good.
But I'm still not going to quit preaching about it.
Preach on.
One of our young people might grow up and really mess their life up. Guess what? That happens because they've rejected what God said so much, they just said, okay, I'll leave you alone. You go your own way. Let's find out, Jack, how it goes. Thank you, Brother Stoltz. You may be seated.
It's an old illustration, but I'll use it again. It's about like when my brother was rebuilding a stupid lawnmower engine. My dad had one of these old lawnmowers. Remember the old crank spring start lawnmowers that had the plugs and condenser in it? My brother rebuilt that thing. Tore it apart, put it back together. I didn't know that thing was running yet. Had it on a board on 2 5-gallon buckets. I thought, great. I love doing that, hitting that button. Because, you know, I couldn't pull a regular one, but I could a while. I didn't know they had that thing running. I went out there, and the last thing my dad said, don't touch the lawnmower. So what's the first thing that a boy does? Go touch the lawnmower. I went out there and got that thing about as tight as I could get it. I thought, I've done this enough times. I hit that button, and all of a sudden, that thing came to life. And I said, uh-oh. Well, I had seen my dad, I'd seen my brother take a screwdriver and pop that plug wire off. But there was no screwdriver to be found. So I reached in there and grabbed hold of that thing. I didn't know it was grabbing back with force. I got the plug wire off,
but it got me. It was out in the front yard. The next thing I know, I looked up and my dad's busting out the front door. And he looked at me laying on the ground and started laughing. He said, "Son, I ought to whoop you, but I think you got a big enough lesson. I don't need to whoop you." And turn around, walk back in laughing. Now, I say that to say this. He had warned me, but he left me to my own way. I found out why you don't do that. To this day, I still don't like electricity. I won't even buy wire in the store. I hate the stuff. Now, sometimes God has to withdraw his presence, let you wander and flail a while before you say, "Okay, let me help you. I have time." This is funny. I've baptized tens of thousands of people in my ministry, and that's not a lie. I mean, in Indiana, we would baptize 15,000 people in a year. That's 300 people a week. Okay, and on big days, I have baptized 300 people in a couple hours, in one day, myself. Well, and this is not a racial thing, and if you think it is, you don't know me, but not many black folk aren't afraid of water. Amen, Miss Kim. It's true. And we'd be bringing people in from the Chicago area and all over Northwest Indiana and South Chicago area. And in the group I was working with, a bunch of them happened to be black. Doesn't matter what color they are to me. But I do know this, especially large black ladies don't like water. And not a one of them. I mean, not one. And I had a rule. You put both hands on that arm, let me baptize you. You let go, I'm letting go of you. Once you finally come back to the top, I'll get you back up. But don't let go. I've had bloody arms from ladies on there one day. Because I've seen, you know, you're in there in a pair of waders. You got nowhere to go if the water goes down the waders. I was baptizing, and I had two ladies come down. And I'll promise you, each one of them weighed over 350 pounds. I've been, and of course, we had been baptizing several children and teenagers, so the water wasn't as deep as some churches would have kept it because we were doing a lot of younger people. And I told this lady, I said, "Ma'am, don't you let go. You let go, I'm letting go of you." I said, "The moment you let go, I'm pushing you away." I said, "I will not drop you. I have never dropped anyone. I can handle this. Just don't let go." All right. Boy, she latched on. I baptized in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. And as I started to go down, she let go and reached up for me. Well, you don't have much room to get out of the way. But I went like this. And down she went. And I waited for her to come back up. And I grabbed her hand, and I stood her back up. I said, "Now, we're going to do this again, but you're not going to let go." And I baptized. Well, her friend's standing there watching this whole thing. I said, "I told you, don't let go." So the next lady came down, just as big as her sister. And I said, "Did you see what happened?" "Uh-huh." I said, "Don't let go. I can handle you." She dug them old claws in there, and the blood started running. I'm not kidding. I'll take the blood. She didn't let go. Guess what? We were done. She's like, "I ain't never seen nobody like you do that." I said, "Just don't let go." Now, that's kind of the way it is with God. If you let go, he's going to push you away and let you wail around a little while till you decide to listen to him. I've seen all kinds of things happen baptizing. I've seen people's teeth come out. I've seen their wigs and their toupees come off and float, and I've seen it all. Oh, I've seen it all. And other things that we won't go into. Now, this evil spirit from God is brought on by our pride not wanting to obey God. The evil spirit from God is God actually leaving us alone, leaving us without his presence and power and direction in our life. It's not God sending a demon into your life. Most of you have enough of those. You don't need another one. Number two, and I will hurry. This evil spirit caused Saul's jealousy to get out of control.
This evil spirit caused Saul's jealousy to rage out of control. Now, everybody listen for just a second here. Saul was jealous that David would be king and not his sons, not his grandsons. Got so mad that he tried to kill David. He got so mad that he threw a javelin at David three different times. Now, I'm not real smart, but if somebody tried to kill me three times, I think I'd try to avoid them.
Right.
I've had enough threats in my life. I've had enough things happen in my life. Saul's jealous of David getting the attention about killing Goliath. Saul has killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands. The women sang. Ooh, that teenage boy's getting more attention than I'm getting. I'm not going to let that happen. Can I tell you something? When somebody starts worrying about their reputation that badly, that they've got to lift themselves up. Now, I believe in having a good name. My wife and I went out to eat last Monday on our date. Most expensive meal we've ever had in our life. We went to a Mexican restaurant. The bill with the everything involved was like $32. That's with a healthy tip. The next day I found out my checking account was charged $5,278.75. That's a lot of beans. And it didn't get fixed till Thursday after some battles. Now, it took few trips back to the restaurant, some calls by the restaurant, a couple trips to the bank, and the bank getting involved and filing some papers with the bank, but I got my name cleared.
Amen.
Good night. That's over a year's worth of groceries for my wife and I. That's one expensive taco, amen? Good night. Now, I believe in getting your name cleared, but I'm not going to print in the paper what place it was in... try to destroy somebody over it.
Right.
Everybody doing all right? Saul wanted his son to be the next king. By the way, David and Jonathan became best of friends. It's hilarious. Saul was jealous of David's good attitude. I won't take time to turn there, but you'll find out later, after Saul had been hunting, trying to kill David, he said, "Thou art a more worthy man than I." He said, "You have a good spirit that I don't have." Wow. So this evil spirit caused Saul's jealousy to get out of control. Can I tell you something? Quit wanting what everybody else has.
Yeah.
Quit wanting somebody else's job. You say, why? Because they don't want it. And if you had it, you wouldn't want it either. Quit wanting what other people have, their houses, their cars, their toys, their computers, their phones, whatever. It's not worth it. Things are things. Number three, and I'm done. God used this evil to bring David to the palace to learn the inner workings of being king. I really believe God allowed all this to take place. Have you ever noticed who they went and got to play the harp for the king? The very object of Saul's anger? I think that's funny. I really do. To me, I find that humorous. And yet, God brought David to the palace to learn the staff, to learn how things work in the palace, because David was training to be king. David was brought to play spiritual healing music and be a good influence on Saul. He actually became close friends with the king's oldest son, Jonathan. They became as one soul, the Bible says in Samuel chapter 18, verse number 1. Matter of fact, after David or Jonathan and Saul were killed in battle towards the end of 1 Samuel, later in 2 Samuel, David searches the land for one of Saul's relatives, which happened to be Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, and he brought him back to the palace and took care of him as one of the king's sons because of honor that he had for Jonathan and Saul. Saul wouldn't have done that. David learned how the
palace and the government work so he would later be king, and David was, or God was building David's reputation with the children of Israel and the governing people of the land, so that when David did take the throne, it was a very natural takeover, and there wasn't going to be a power surge or a power struggle with things. If you notice, a lot of times when a new leader comes on board, they just decimated everything and started over. When David took over, you didn't have that.
You didn't have it because David wouldn't lift up his hand against God's anointed. So Saul's disobedience and rebellion caused this evil upon himself, but God made it a blessing for David and allowed David to rise to become one of the greatest kings in world history. An evil spirit from God. Now, listen to this and I'm done. David did not start evil by trying to take Saul's life. Even when Saul sought to kill David for years.
Twice, at least, David was close enough to Saul. One time he took his sword and cut the bottom of his garment off and walked out of the cave, waited for Saul to wake up and said, "Saul, I was close enough to kill you, but I did not." Saul said, "You're a more righteous man than I, because if I was that close, I would have killed you." He said, "No, I'll not lift up my hand against God's anointed." Even when Saul sought to kill David for years, David did not stop not being evil just because somebody was doing evil to him.
That's good.
Let's live so that we don't have to live with this evil spirit from God. You know how many times I've walked out to my truck in the morning and had some of my enemies write dirty four-letter words all over it. I'm glad my enemies can't spell anything more than four letters. Thank God my enemies are pretty stupid. Amen, Brother Mike? I can't tell you how many I've had to change and add locks to my house. Can't tell you how many times in the night people have tried to do things to my house. 3:45 the other morning. I don't even remember what morning. But 3:45, all I heard was my dog in the front room. I heard this god-awful growl, and then she started howling. And I've only ever heard her do that one other time, and she was serious, let me tell you. I mean, by the time I got to the living room, the hair was straight up on that little old beagle's back, and she was... I reached up out of bed, grabbed my gun, and ran through the house. I had no idea what was going on. I don't know if it was a critter running through the yard. I don't know if it was a cat, a rabbit, or a person. But I know this, her bark chased him away, but you don't know how many times I've had him do things to the house before the dog was there. Now, wait a minute. I'm not trying to seek evil. I feel sorry for those folks.
I preached yesterday at a funeral. Do you know I had people there that have listened to my enemies for years, walked up to me afterwards and said, "They were wrong, you're right, I'm going to get things right," and said, "Preacher, I'm sorry." Yeah. Shocked me to death. I didn't even know they hated me. I said, "Don't tell me. I don't want to waste my energy." Now, wait a minute. God didn't want Saul to have this evil spirit upon him. It wasn't something God wanted, but Saul chose it because he wouldn't obey God. May we be like David and not Saul. May we decide we're not going to disobey God and do things our way. God will not work outside that book. If we'll do it that way, guess what? God will be pleased. By the way, being filled with the Spirit isn't laying on the ground, flopping on the ground, talking in jibber-jabber and saying, I got it. It's nothing to do with that. Matter of fact, those folks, whatever they got, I don't want. But can I tell you something? I know when the Holy Spirit of God's somewhere. I know this.
I was preaching to about 60 or 70 tough rednecks yesterday, man, Brother Stoltz. Yeah. It looked like a hunting party. I had three guys standing in the back row with 45 pistols on their hips in camo. Now, wait a minute. But I watched two of those three men raise their hand and get saved.
Amen.
I watched a man that was a staunch Lutheran, the man's son-in-law, sat there spellbound, swore up and down he'd never be anything but a Lutheran, listened to me preach yesterday, and his hand was the first one up on the front row. Oh, by the way, it was the guy's son-in-law.
Amen.
I watched all kinds of things take place. Say, why? Because of you? Because of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
It wasn't me. If it was left up to me, I wouldn't have been there. I'm not that bold. But when the Holy Spirit comes on, you just preach what He says. It's okay. Let's be more like David than Saul. Let's be more like David than Saul. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'll ask this. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I know that. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, I'm not sure of that. I'd like to know it someday. I won't come to you. I won't call on you. But you say, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon, something I needed. There's something in my life that I needed that. Would you raise your hand? Oh, there are many, 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 many hands.